2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 11 to 21. Page number 1161. Verse beginning from 11. Since then we know that it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thanks.
Thanks, Christy. We as a church celebrate God this year based on this verse. Celebrate God all day, every day, revel in him. In the series of Celebrate God, this morning we are going to celebrate him for the ministry of reconciliation, which he accomplished first, and then he passed it on to us to continue the same. I would like to take you a piece of paper, and please don't open it until I ask you to open. Yeah, you can pass it around. So has everyone got one? Yeah. The temptation is there. Please don't open it until I ask you to open. You haven't got one. Yeah? The passage we read this morning, we read now, it is a fascinating passage to revel. And you can find everything in this passage. We are all included in this passage. Everyone is involved. You can find here the God, the Father, his love and grace, his scheme of salvation, God the Son, Christ's incarnation, his work on this earth, and his death and resurrection, and as the believers in Christ and our faith in Christ, and as well it includes the whole world and the people. And this passage includes the ministry of God and the ministry that he has passed it on to us, appointing us for his apostolic ministry. And this passage is appropriate for evangelical preaching. And it has pastoral care in that, and the humility and humbleness and transparency that we need in the ministry of God's work. And an in-depth Bible study can be taken from this passage. And the entire passage is about our centralized hope in Christ. Is it not an interesting passage to meditate on the following of Easter Sunday, after we had two baptisms here on Easter Sunday morning? I sound as if I am doing a sales pitch for this passage. Ministry of Reconciliation. The reconciliation, this word looks like a complicated word, having a substantial meaning. But for me, it looks like a restful word. At last, the dispute has been settled. Finally, the restoration has been made. And once for all, the settlement has been done. Is it not giving us a divine peace for us? As this word sounds, it is a new word appearing many times in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, this word appears as atonement. Atonement, it means at one ment, which implicates making it one. It is an act of atonement that reconciles from our estranged or a separated divine and human relationship. In the Old Testament, there was the removal of sin and guilt was possible through different sacrificial offerings. And the worshippers, they sought for God's pardon for their unintentional offenses. The pinnacle of this atonement was when a high priest enters into the most holy place with the blood of sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, annual Atonement Day. There are two things happening in this. Firstly, the high priest had to atone himself and then to the people through his offering. And secondly, the blood of the slaughtered bull or goat has to be sprinkled over the atonement cover, which emphasizes the need of a death and as substitutionary victim. These are all the things that were given through law by Moses to the people of Israelites to keep their life under regulation. However, even the Old Testament passages itself, like Hosea and Micah and Psalm 51, they explicate clearly that these practices are not sufficient for the permanent atonement of sins, but by only God's grace. The permanent reconciliation was manifested in the work of Christ, who offered himself as a permanent sacrifice. Now, we don't need to go as a ritual and our regular day-to-day offerings for our conscious and unconscious sins. Christ has paid it all. The good news is God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In other words, God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself. God in Christ. It is about the study of Christology. Reconciling the world to himself is called soteriology. We all know like logy, zoology, biology, and all those things are about the study of particular things. And Christology, we can easily find it out, it is the study about the study of Christ. And soteriology, it is about the study of salvation. So in this doctrine of reconciliation, God has completed the entire work for redeeming us. God is interested in having a human relationship with us. But there was one thing that was blocking or separating us or not allowing us to go closer to God. And that was nothing but the sin. The sin entered into this world through one man, Adam, by his disobedience. Although God is interested in us, the sinners, but he cannot bear the sin as he is of holy and righteous. Since God loved the world, he sent his son as a perfect sacrifice. And we read in Corinthians, same chapter 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had no sin in him. He was a sinless man. He knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. He became sin for us. He humbled himself and he volunteered himself as a pleasant sacrifice, as an offering to honor God the Father's will. So through this one man, Jesus' obedience, the sin was expiated. It was removed that was blocking us between us and God. Have we done anything or have we contributed anything on this masterpiece of God's love through Christ? If we want to know, if we want to understand what the love is, then we should go and observe the cross. The perfect submission of Christ, the perfect love of God, for the sake of redeeming us and reconciling us, can be visualized in the cross. And that's why our eyes get welled up when we sing this song, at the cross, I bow my knees, where your blood was shed for me. There is no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Glory fills the highest praise. What can separate me now? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can break that awesome and powerful union that has been made through Christ with God. There are two major aspects that we can observe in this reconciliation process. 14 verse, it says, one died for all, and therefore all died. 15, and he died for all. The God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Until I read this passage clearly, I was thinking that in this reconciliation process, there are two parties involved. Us, the Christians who keep faith in Christ, and God. But these verses confirm that first, provisionally, the reconciliation was accomplished by Christ on the cross, with the result that the whole world was potentially reconciled. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. The whole world was involved in this reconciliation process. Jesus died for all, for the whole world. So hereafter, after knowing this truth, we won't be seeing the world through human's point of view. We can boldly go and certainly share with the other faith people that Jesus died for them as well. He died for them too. We saw a video clip early this morning in the service, seeing things through God's eyes, not through humans' eyes. Let us not judge people based on our human perspective. Reconciliation of the world. I should say here, Christians are exempted in showing the love of God to other people. It is history that Christians were the one who first initiated the missionary work across the world, taking the good news around the world. I remember this, it happened back home before I came to the Lord. Even our own family members and friends have criticized seeing Christians coming around our home. We used to say that, oh, the Christians are coming. They are coming to convert us. Never ever thought then why these Christians are taking so much effort in sharing God's love to one another. What benefit they are going to get from sharing this with others? It is purely because the love they have received from Christ, they wanted to share it with others. Secondly, the reconciliation becomes actual and experienced in the persons of the believers in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we keep our faith in Christ, when we believe that I died with Christ, all my old sinful life has been died with Christ, and having hope that as Christ has risen, I will also rise again. And the life what I have received now, I will not live for my own, and I live for my Savior's sake. All our old sinful life will get stripped away, and we are the new creation in Christ, and there will be no more condemnation. We saw a couple of our youngsters taking believers' baptism on the Easter Sunday morning. It was really reflecting about this, dying with Christ and rising with a new life that God has given. I want to say that the water here did not do any magic for their conversion. Attending Sunday services regularly is not going to transform us. Or doing God's ministry will not fetch us any change in our personal life just by keeping our faith in Christ, receiving Him and accepting Him as our own personal Savior will change us into a new person and will bring us a new reconciliation with God. I like this song, and we can sing this song now. Whoever knows, we can join it, because Christ's love, it will not keep us quiet. And whenever you think about the first personal conversion that happened in your mind, it will be an amazing feeling. It stays fresh and it rejuvenates us and keeps nudging us to go and share with the other people about the love that we have received. Shall we sing this song?
It's bubbling in my soul.
I'm singing, I'm dancing. Since Jesus made me whole, no folks can understand it. How can I keep it quiet? It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing. I keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. I can see the bubbling is happening. I wait for people to come and ask me about my personal conversion. I enjoy sharing it with others any number of times. I will get excited when I want to share about my personal conversion. I long for it. As you have heard many times about my personal testimony, I leave you this time free. Paul had a similar sense. And he was saying in this verse, for Christ's love compels us. It was compelling him. It was controlling him. It was saying him, convincing him that he died for all. Once he died for me as well. That kind of conversion, that kind of compelling love, Paul was having. And he wanted to share with the people around. And he says another thing in the verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. He wants to persuade people. He wants to bring people into God's knowledge. And he says that it is because of the fear of the Lord. If you see this verse starts like since then, so you need to read little in the previous verses as well. 5:10, it says that it is the time he is going to meet the judgment day. God will be on the throne and he will be judging us for everything that we have done, good or bad. So it is the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord and the love of Christ, if one has in their life, we will be an evangelist forever. And the fear of the Lord is not about terrific or cringing terror. It is about the holy reverence of God. And the love of Christ, it is not romantic feelings, but it is about the sacrificial care. The ministry of God. God has given Jesus, the forerunner, he has completed his ministry on this earth. And he has passed it on to us. Now, if I ask you what kind of ministry you are involved with, you can shout it from the places where you are, any ministry, worship team, you are doing lots of things.
Music.
Tiddlywinks. Music, tiddlywinks, yep, community sheet and prayer sheet. I know you are all doing many things. Christian aid, 60 plus. Yes, catering, very important. Yes, it is. Preschool. Prayer ministry, Sunday school, worship, music. Some of you might be thinking, I don't want like that one to name it. You know what? We are all involved in one or other forms of ministries. Sometimes we may not be knowing what we are doing. Being present in the fellowship of brothers and sisters is a ministry to God. Inviting or welcoming people with a warm smile is a big ministry for God. Praying for one another. We are all involved in the prayer ministry scheme, prayer partner scheme. We are getting people to be prayed for each other. And when we call them and ask them their need, and when we pray for each other, we are involved in that ministry. Everyone is doing a ministry for God. You know that a couple of weeks ago, I was traveling to India to visit my aunt who had a fall. And she is recovering now well by God's grace. And my mom at her old age, she is looking after her. A couple of days ago, when I was reading an article, the author was mentioning there about a lady who was taking care of her own old father, old age father. And the author was mentioning, it is the ministry what God has given to her. I rang my mom and I told, like, you are doing the ministry for God. And she was saying, am I? She was energized. She was excited to know that she is also in a part of doing God's ministry at her old age. We don't know what we are called, what we are doing. But every time, remember that when you are here in the church, and when you are going out, we are taking God's love with us. So the ministry of reconciliation, what Jesus has accomplished, he has given us to do, continue the same. Now I want you to open the piece of paper, what you have received before. And please shout it out loud. What is it saying? Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors of Christ. I didn't say that. The Bible says so. We are all ambassadors of Christ. In the Roman period, the ambassadors are sent to the conquered nations, and they will go and ask the nation, whether do you want to join the kingdom, the empire? They want to make a peacemaking. We want to have peace with you. Do you want to join us? That is the work of reconciliation. That's what Jesus has done for us. And we don't need to die like Jesus died on the cross, but he has asked us to continue the ministry of reconciliation, going and sharing God's love. We know the truth now that he died for all. The whole world was reconciled unto him. But the believers, when we believe that he died for us personally, then we are included in his family. Shall we pray?